WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This Sunday and Monday, the PBS arts biography series American Masters presents a two-part, four-hour special called Woody Allen, a Documentary. Our TV critic David Bianculli thinks it is very special.
Woody Allen, a Documentary, is the result, though not the culmination, of three very long and distinguished careers. First, there's Robert Wydie, the writer-director whose examination of Woody's life and art follows similar and similarly impressive documentaries on the Marx Brothers, Mort Saul, and Lenny Bruce. Second, there's Susan Lacy, who created the PBS American Masters series 25 years ago, overseeing and nurturing brilliant programs on everyone from Buster Keaton and Jerome Robbins to John Lennon and Bob Dylan. And finally, there's Woody Allen himself, who cooperated in the making of this documentary because of his respect for both Wydie and American Masters. In lesser hands, Woody Allen, a Documentary, might have the pondering weight of a career achievement salute, but not here. Part of it is timing. During the year and a half Wydie followed Allen around and filmed and interviewed him, Allen happened to release Midnight in Paris, which may be his best comedy film in decades. And the other reason this documentary is so good is because it's so interested in process, in not only what Woody Allen has done, but why, and how, and even how he thinks about his own work, even as he's writing and filming it.
Writing is the great life, because you wake up in the morning, you write in your room. You know, in the room, everything's great, you know, because you don't have to deliver. So you write it and you imagine it's Citizen Kane or, you know, everything you write is great. But when you have to then take it out and do it, then reality sets in.
When all your schemes about making a masterpiece are reduced to, I'll prostitute myself any way I have to survive this catastrophe.
There's so much ground to cover when dealing with the life and works of Woody Allen that even 4 hours don't seem like enough. I would have appreciated more coverage of his TV work, including his brilliant 1969 variety special with Billy Graham and Candace Bergen. Yes, you heard me right. And his 1972 PBS comedy special that poked fun at Richard Nixon so successfully that it was never aired. But even on the TV front, Woody Allen, a Documentary, is generous and surprising. It includes not only his talk show appearance with Dick Cavett, but an episode of a forgotten variety series called Hippodrome from 1966, in which Woody Allen actually climbs in a boxing ring and boxes a kangaroo. From the movies, there are outtakes and shots of Allen giving direction to his actors and stories of major rewrites like the discarded first half of Sleeper. About his artistic process, we see the portable typewriter on which Woody Allen has clacked out every movie script, play, and New Yorker piece since he began writing. We're also shown his key inspirations, from Bob Hope to Ingmar Bergman. And about his personal life, we learn a lot, though not everything. The trickiest terrain is the part about Sunyi Previn, the adopted daughter of Andre Previn and Mia Farrow. Farrow subsequently became Allen's longtime girlfriend, until Allen shocked much of the world by confessing his love for and eventually marrying Sunyi. The documentary covers that scandal, and later prominently features Sunyi in footage of Allen's recent overseas tour in which he plays clarinet with his jazz band. But it seems to race through that portion of Allen's life as quickly as possible, and understandably so. That's not to say this character study avoids Allen's character or what shaped it. Quite the contrary. Wydie takes Allen back to his childhood home in Brooklyn, which triggers all sorts of recollections and realizations. And the film also includes one piece of home movie footage that's almost uncomfortably revealing. Woody Allen, in 1986, stood behind the camera and interviewed his own mother, Nettie Koningsberg, to record her stories and memories. Listen to what she says about her son.
You were a very bright child. You spoke young. You were very young when you spoke. You were always running, whether it was the street or the house or your room. You never stayed put for 5 minutes. I didn't know how to handle that type of a child. You were too active and too much of a child for me. I wasn't that good to you because I was very strict with you, which I regret, because I think if I hadn't been that strict, you might have been not so impatient. You might have been not better. You're a good person, but maybe softer, maybe warmer.
Yikes. You hear from plenty of other people in Woody Allen, a documentary, as well. Diane Keaton and Louise Lasser, Mariel Hemingway and Scarlett Johansson, Martin Scorsese and Dick Cavett, Sean Penn and Larry David, and so many more. But the film clips, more than anything, steal this show. The bank robbery scene from Take the Money and Run, the translation scene from Bananas, the ending and the beautiful Gershwin music from Manhattan, and so many, many scenes from Annie Hall. Part one of this American Masters documentary takes us through Manhattan and Stardust memories, and part two covers the rest, up to and including the most recent, most delightful Midnight in Paris. Woody Allen, a documentary, is a smart, sometimes serious study of a smart, sometimes serious filmmaker. It rivals HBO's recent two-part George Harrison documentary as the best TV biography of the season. And, like that one, deserves to be seen, recorded, and added to your personal video library. It's that good, and holds up that well to repeated viewings.
David Bianculli is founder and editor of TVWorthWatching.com and teaches TV and film history at Rowan University. He reviewed the PBS American Masters special, Woody Allen, a Documentary. You'll find links to some of the clips David mentioned on our website, freshair.npr.org.